This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
I've always felt that, you know, it doesn't matter who you fall in love with.
Basic human rights should apply to all people, including gay people.
Hi, I'm Emma Caulfield.
And I'm Amber Benson.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Queer Geeks of Oz brings you PAX. October 30 to November 1. Get your geek on, queers. It's a panel about video games, fun and games, women and games, and representation.
And
much, much more.
With Dillstick,
Sonia,
the Screamer,
Lauren Stardust, and more. Only at PAX 2015 in Melbourne Town.
At the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. Be sure to catch the Queer Geeks of Oz panel on Saturday, October 31st, 2 p.m. at PAX. Go to paxaustralia.com.au. Look for Queer Geeks of Oz on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Queer Geeks of Oz. Catch you at PAX.
Sonia here for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And we have on the phone, we're talking to a writer-director of something called Sam Klimke's Time Machine. This film is due for a wider release, or due to be released, in Melbourne and around Australia. And we have Matt Bate talking to us today. Thanks, Matt.
No worries. How are you going?
Yeah, good, good, good. Thanks. So this is an unusual film, not to be taken in by the title of it, Sam Klimke's Time Machine. It may not seem to have an actual, you know, real time machine in it, as such, without spoiling it. But what brought you to this particular project?
Yeah, I guess the time machine is a camera. So it's a sort of metaphor for the time machine. It's about a guy that has filmed his entire life. And I came across it on Facebook. A friend of mine posted this video that this guy, Sam Klimke, had made, where he devolves, or euthens, as he calls it, sort of like Benjamin Button. He goes from being a kind of slightly obese, overweight, schlubby 50-something American guy to becoming a kind of youthful 17-year-old skinny young chap with ambitions and optimism to become a great filmmaker.
Other title of it, I guess you'd call it, is An Extraordinary Nobody. That sort of
company. Yeah, well, yeah, which is, I've always, for some reason, all my films have these epically long titles. I don't know why, but I sort of see him as an extraordinary nobody. I mean, he is a nobody, not a famous person. He had a brief stint as a YouTube sort of meme for a millisecond, but I think what he did was kind of extraordinary in a way, which was to document his entire life. He started off wanting to be a great filmmaker like Woody Allen or Orson Welles. And he feels like he failed. He never became kind of famous. But I think that his documentation of his life in this sort of video diary way, I see it as a kind of almost like a punk rock Citizen Kane, you know, like it's incredibly beautiful, raw thing that I helped him sort of put together into a 90-minute feature film.
Yeah, so how much involvement, I mean, together, doing it, did you have to go to the US a lot to work together, or was it all thanks to the wonders of technology?
I mean, he would send me kind of hard drives of his life, sort of in the lead up to me eventually going to America and meeting him in person. I sort of end up in the film. We tell the story chronologically, so he starts off as a young sort of 8-year-old on Super 8 camera, and then we see him kind of grow. Every year he sort of does a yearly update. He was kind of status updating, you know, years before Facebook existed and this idea of status updates, but he was doing it in the late 70s. So it kind of chronologically works through, and then in 2011 or 12, he gets a call from an Australian filmmaker called Matthew Bate. I kind of step in.
Yeah, right. So you found out about him on Facebook. That's interesting, if you think about it. Like, I've been lucky to see, you know, see the film or observe the life of Sam Klimke, you could say. And it kind of mirrors, I guess, what he was doing was a type, like you said, was a type of Facebook in a way.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, he's sort of a narcissist, but I think we all are. We live in the age of the selfie now, and I kind of see what he was doing in a way like a life selfie. He's managed to document 50 years of his life, and in a way he's a sort of pioneer of the selfie and of this, you know, as I said, of status updating and kind of documenting our lives like we all do now, where he was doing it, you know, 35 years before the invention of the internet. He was sort of declaring his or status updating to this invisible audience, this which he called posterity. He was recording his life for posterity.
When you actually worked with him, or you know, and you talked to him, as far as a status update about a film being made about a whole heap of these, you know, of his life and his own status updates, what's his what does he think about it all himself
about the film?
Yeah, about that experience.
I mean, it's sort of changed his life in a way, I guess. He's sort of, you know, he's been flying around and being flown to film festivals. We premiered at Sundance. So, you know, for sort of in the indie film world, or in just in the film world in general, that's kind of a big deal. So for him to kind of go from, you know, complete obscurity to schmoozing with the celebs at Sundance was a huge thing for him, and a kind of justification for all that he'd been doing, you know, through his whole life. But, you know, and then he went to London recently, he's flown to LA, and, you know, he's sort of being flown around the world to these festivals. So, you know, in a way, I think he sort of feels like he's justified all of this narcissistic filming and self-obsession has kind of come to fruition.
Really interesting, all the different relationships, and you see the change in him at such a young age. Pretty, I guess, more serious, a very much more serious way of documenting. Whereas I think with social media that we have, it's, yes, certainly it can be serious, but it does have all those other tricks that we can show to try and stay positive. But you do see a man who writes off a whole year as being pathetic, you know, for example. Yeah. Things like that.
I spent a whole year eating nothing but nachos in bed, I think he says at one point, you know. But yeah. I think that's the beauty of what he did as well, is that he says on camera is very raw. He's very open about the misfortunes of his life, the heartbreaks, the obsessions, the addictions, and so on. And we're not like that on Facebook. We're very curated. We're very sort of sanitized. But I think it's refreshing to see someone that is so willing to sort of put it all out there and let it all hang out.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Literally. Just warning there are nude moments.
Yes.
In the film.
Yes.
That is actually him. But yeah, look, it does start off, you know, with the countdown clock, because I think it's New York, don't they? Do Times Square, where they do the countdown of the new year. And it starts off with that big excitement, 1977, and where he announces his first annual personal status report. It sounds like a news intro, and, you know, there's the microwave oven, Elvis Presley has died, and the Voyager, of course, our spacecraft probe as such, is propelled into outer space with a time capsule in it, the golden record, of course, the very famous gold record, with all of humanity, you know, engraved on that disc. Quite interesting, about the same year that he starts, you know, filming himself as a record.
Yeah, which is, I mean, the record I've always been obsessed by. I'm a vinyl record collector, and this is like the ultimate kind of mixtape, you know, compilation record, and which we sent to, you know, an alien disco, a galaxy far away.
Do they have a turntable to play it?
They included one on the craft with instructions about how to play the record with a stylus. the whole business. So, and you know, this amazing collection of record of music and sort of images of life on Earth, and I kind of see that and the film juxtaposes and parallels and the Voyager, because both I see both as time travelers in a way, but also both are self-portraits. You know, the Sam created this sort of lifelong self-portrait, and Voyager is a self-portrait of all of us, of humanity. Mm. So the film kind of uses the Voyager as a sort of poetic narrative and a kind of contextualizing narrative. So we go out to the cosmos, but then juxtapose Sam back in the suburbs of Earth. You know, we have these very lofty ideas of, you know, that the Voyager sort of propels to the universe, and then we have Sam sort of in bed masturbating and eating nachos. So it's sort of this sort of interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to mix the two up. No, really.
No.
For the alien, superior alien race or something. As far as the record goes, the gold record on the Voyager, were there ever copies made? I guess there probably were copies made.
Well, I really wish, because I would certainly want to own one. But
something on eBay?
NASA just released all of the audio, actually, because they're very good with releasing stuff to the public domain. But so you can actually go and listen to it now on SoundCloud, through NASA's SoundCloud, and it's great. I mean, it's really worth a listen. Some of the music on it, absolutely incredible, just amazing.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting. It'll be something to look up. Yeah, because it is pretty amazing to think. It's now in the outer... Well, it's past the solar... it's past our solar system now, isn't it?
That's right. It's gone out. It's the first man-made object that exits the solar system into deep space.
Mm. And is that the case for Sam Klimke's time machine, do you think? Now
I think
that it's been released.
See the film and find out.
Yeah.
But yes, it's about to enter the universe, well, our universe anyway. It's about to premiere at the Adelaide Film Festival on the 21st, and then it's going to release into cinemas, as you said, across Australia in late October, early November.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so yeah, Melbourne, of course, at Cinema Nova, there's going to be a special Q&A on Sunday the 25th at 4 p.m. And you're going to be part of that Q&A.
That's right, and I'll have the time-travelling self with me as well.
Right, so he's coming here.
He's coming down to sample the Australian nacho situation.
All right. You're not going to let him go on the nacho thing, are you?
Going to introduce him to some of our local snacks, I think.
Okay. I think there's a good burrito place, so maybe, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So what happens to the film after? I mean, it's touching down in Australia. Does it go to any more festivals overseas, or what's
It's doing, if you go to everything's on our Sam Klimke timemachine.com, you can find out. But also it's going to be releasing on VOD through Vimeo. I think it's the first Australian film to release through Vimeo on their video on demand system. So, yeah, we're really excited to be releasing it. Just later this year, I think in November, through them, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a big one. Gets it out there. Was he surprised at all? What was his reaction to, you know, all these folk in Australia wanting to put him in a film, make a film about his life?
Oh, I think his ego was tickled pink when he'd seen a film, or when I first contacted him, I sent him a film I'd made called Shut Up, Little Man, which he really loved. Mm. And it had a few people in it that Daniel Klaus, who did Ghost World, and a few other sort of geek crushes on. And he sort of felt like he was in good hands with me, I guess. That film had gone to Sundance. And so I think you add all that together, he sort of felt like he was in a good hand. So he was more than happy to sort of give me his entire digitized life on film.
Mm, excellent. Yeah, no. Well, in a kind of a roundabout way, he's kind of got what he first went out to try and do.
Yeah, I know, that's right. Films. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And for you, has this changed you in any way, the way that you record events or... you know, just the idea of a story about a person and that journey. Has it affected your work?
Well, I think I can sort of start to see a pattern emerging in what I do, which is you don't realise you're doing it until, you know, it's too late or later on. But I sort of seem to be making these films about recordings. You know, Shut Up, Little Man was about an audio recording. And this film is about, you know, a man who's recorded his entire life. And so I think I am. And also using the internet a lot. I sort of found the film on the internet. And I, you know, use a lot of resources I find on the internet. Reaching out to people in other countries from Australia to make films is something I've been doing a lot of. Having them record themselves or getting their recordings sent to me, and then I make the film. So I'm certainly interested in using the internet and technology like this and exploring these ideas of recording, because it's something we all do. I mean, we're all walking around armed to the teeth with recording devices now. Our phones are recording devices. So it's kind of, yeah, somehow I've been attracted to this sort of theme, maybe unconsciously.
It's interesting process. While I was walking on the way to getting to work, getting here, say, to do some stuff at the studio, I kept coming across the images of rabbits. Rabbits everywhere. And I was like, oh.
Right.
There was a soft toy rabbit lying face down, and I almost stepped on it, and I was like, that's strange. And then there was an image of a rabbit holding a clock, you know, Alice in Wonderland. And the Melbourne Festival's got a rabbit on the cover, and I picked that up this morning while I had a coffee.
Right.
I mean, there's a rabbit. And then while I was catching the tram, I looked in a window, and there was actually a real rabbit looking at me. And I was going, what's going on? It was a pet grooming place, and they have this rabbit that sits in the front window. And I was going, time. Yes, it's all about time.
It is.
That funny,
these interesting conjunctions of things. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is all an elaborate illusion right now.
I know. Perhaps we're in Sam Klimke's time machine, as we say.
Maybe we're in the time machine, yeah.
Okay, well, so what happens next? So you've got other projects you can briefly talk about?
Yeah, I'm just developing, we're sort of in the midst of making a little film for the New York Times. I've sort of gone back into making these short documentaries. So I'm doing this little interesting little film at the moment about a kid who does this thing called urbexing, which is urban exploring. And this kid I've been working with scales skyscrapers in New York and hangs off them and takes these ridiculous photographs of himself, risking life and limb. So, again, another one where I've found him on the internet and he's sending me stuff and I'm making the film, you know, through the internet and through, you know, across the continent that way. Making sort of short films. And just about to do this web series called The Perverts A to Z, which is a guide to sort of sexual perversions and paraphilias and stuff. So that's sort of interesting turf as well.
Wow. Yes. That sounds really interesting. Cool. Yeah, because, of course, Closer Productions, you're involved there, and some fabulous fabulous things coming out from that team. So, like 52 Tuesdays is doing very well. And
We've had a good run lately, actually. We've had the three features all been at Sundance and kind of been out in the world and doing theatrical runs, which is amazing. And it's been a good few years for us.
Yeah, cool. And keep it that way. It's good. All right,
we're trying our best.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us today here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're looking at time, and in particular looking at your film there, Matt, the writer and director of Sam Klimke's Time Machine. So don't forget, it is getting at last a release through cinemas around Australia. And for Melbourne, we're lucky, we'll have a Q&A at Cinema Nova on Sunday the 25th of October at 4 p.m. Find out more about that. We'll put that on the website, of course. What's selfie cinema? That's something happening in Adelaide.
Something happening at the Adelaide Film Festival. Okay. On a panel with a bunch of other digital narcissists who've somehow recorded their lives as well.
Digital narcissists. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Hey, that's great. Look, thank you again for speaking to us.
No worries. A pleasure.
And good luck with Sam, and I hope you find some interesting Australian nachos for him to enjoy.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks. Cheers.
Quartz. Quartzine.
Quartz Zine, Queer Art Zine, is a free digital and print zine initiative to showcase and promote LGBTIQ visual arts, comics, cartooning, and writing talent. So from prose to poems to print to pencil, that's Quartz Zine. And we need your help. You can submit your work to us at quartz@outlook.com.au. You have until November 27, 2015. Submit now. Find us on Facebook. Quartz. Quartz Zine.
The Queer Art Zine. Queer Art Zine.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.